Blog Talk Radio.
Born in a competition with a feeling that something's missing. Bred in a corn addiction with a synthetic composition. On the brink of a civil war or the forming of one religion. I wonder what came first, dinosaurs or Darwinism? Pledging allegiance to a flag since elementary. Writing curses and curses and casting spells, stung by the spelling bee. And they say, congratulations, you graduated. From slavery to paid slavery, you actually made it. Here, take this gown and cap and wave it. Like a celebration of going to school just to get a job to pay for it. Like a nation that traded its minerals in exchange for paper payment. Here, these are your gods, you have to praise them. I wonder who we worship if we weren't captured and traded. Consider this my affidavit. Yeah, it's the ruling class here to rule your ass. Prescription drug thug, cocaine, you your ass. Agricultural skills sure would suit your ass. But they say, living off the land is a useless past. Here, work for dead presidents. Fool your ass. Any revolutionaries, they remove your ass. Fast, click, clack, quick blast, in a flash. Whiplash from the kickback or the impact. Put the shit back, as long as my head is intact. I'll be as political as I want, cause I get taxed. Nah, this ain't no fucking diss track to diss track. A useless chit-chat and syntax on whose ass is this bad and who has the sick tag. Who's that and this average? Compare his passes to his passes. It's a thousand sports channels, you can get this package or this package. Who's this savage? Hey, let's compare your emotional baggage to my emotional baggage and see who calls each other bitch bastards. Haters go out their way to fuck up my day, but I ain't even worried about your bitch ass. And it's quite the optic, hard to take your eyes off it. They make the sky toxic, prescribe the antibiotic. Make a high profit, divide the margin. You could die off it, if you do, they hide the autopsy. What the fuck are you supposed to do? More gallons in your kosher food. What the fuck is eating kosher food? Third generation crops won't produce. Be careful who you keep close to you. I'm from Atlanta, but shouts out to my Oakland crew. They say Bobby Ray the older you is overdue. I say, hey, sorry I got a little caught up exposing truths. I used to think, what would Hova do? Now I think, what the fuck would Macho Man and Hulk Hogan do? Now if Steve Austin was America, and The Rock was Afghanistan, then Russia and China would be Triple H, and Illuminati would be Vince McMahon. Now when the haters are the Undertaker, the crowd doesn't stand a chance. When the international bankers are walking through the stands, slide your ass in the van. You think you a fan, but you really just a lamb. Niggas start trends every day, but don't ever get no pair of Vans. What the fuck is in advance? Niggas live on color people time. What the fuck is in advance? I don't fucking understand. I just want my fucking band. I'm a walking, talking human conundrum, like a Muslim going ham, looking for the promised land. False stories of Christopher Columbus holding Pocahontas' hand. Black history is the shortest month. I just hope you understand when the native Indians don't get shit, but Thanksgiving and some yams, like, here, here's a few casinos, huh? Sorry we took all your land, huh? Well, let's just move on, because America's great. Man, I fucking love it. Democratic or Republic. Lightning rod, change the subject. All of these religions, I'm glad I found one. All of these beliefs, and mine's the right one. Trying to process all of this info you hide from. So you wait to fuck about only your vice, son. Question where religion condition your mind, hun. Whatever's prohibited, I'ma defy them. The smell of freedom is making my eyes run. To authority, I'm the antithesis. I'm not a pacifist or a philanthropist. And I ain't got all the answers. I just got a louder mic and better stances, bitch. Oh, I'm sorry, did I offend you? What the fuck you think goes on at schools you send your kids to? What the fuck you think they serve for lunch? What's on the menu? That's my only ratchet shit is what these kids is into. A language comprehensible. Friends do what they friends do. People act for fucking hard, but really they just gentle. Psychological children, grown-ups with issues. Grown-ups with children who grow up with issues. Cancer tissues, abandonment, misuse. Subliminal marketing screaming, here, let me fix you. I have the cure. I have the remedy. I am the savior. I am not the enemy. But give me your money. Give me your money. Give me your money. Everybody's in debt, but this is a free country. They dock your pay. What a mockery. Why are you on the clock? Hickory dickory dockery. They want cable. They want coffee. They want comedy. Anything to take their mind off being property. Trying to say it properly. Working on my tax, but I am the anomaly. They know I'm the shit like an ileo colonoscopy. They know I'm the shit by just looking at my discography. They know I've been sent to awaken this idiocracy. Mass media, hypocrisy, turn into a worker bee. Harvest the honey tree. I'm just being honest, B. Mother Earth quakes underneath. Father sky up above the sea. God the Father, the sky. Son of God, the Son. Amun Ra, the eye. No more amen, no more folded hands, goodbye. Adios, au revoir.
Thank you all for joining me at this time. My name is Shabby Zane, and I'm coming on to bring a message for you all in regards to some shifts that have taken place as of yesterday, okay?
Mainly
surrounding the death of Elizabeth, who was considered to be the queen of the United Kingdom, okay? And so I want to go off into some things that some of you may be privy to and some of you may not have any idea about. Okay, about a year ago, this knowledge actually was handed to me, and I didn't really know what to do with it because I did not have this channel at that time. And I expressed it on Facebook, actually, and it was completely crickets. So I know people was looking at me as if, okay, this woman is, she's lost her mind, right? Of course, those of you who are familiar with the awakening, you know that when we start to see things through our spiritual eyes, those who cannot see, everything sounds crazy to them. And so I kind of just let that, you know, die out. And so I didn't do anything with that information until now. So as of yesterday, Elizabeth, who is considered the Queen of England, has passed away. And it actually reminded me of the wisdom that was given to me a year ago. So first I want to start off by saying I'm going to be pulling the cards. I'm going to be looking into my book, The 48 Laws of Power, to pick up on the energy of what this shift means. And I'm also going to be speaking first with you all in regards to this particular place out in, it's called the Tower of London. So the Tower of London, this particular place has ravens on the land. I want you all to go and look this up for yourself. Don't take my word for anything. Go look it up for yourself and use your own discernment. But this is what was revealed to me a year ago. So ravens are actually kept on the land, on this landmass called the Tower of London. It's actually a large building where many people stay. I think it's a lot of the guards there. They stay in that particular location. And so there are ravens that are actually kept on the land to protect the crown and Tower of London. And so it's to pretty much protect the rulership of London, okay? And they use these ravens, which many of you know are very, you know, beautiful black birds, right, to protect the land. And so it says, if the ravens are lost or fly away, the crown will fall and Britain will fall with it. So there was always this paranoia that if any of the ravens were to fly away or to die on the land, especially if all of them were to disperse at the same time, then the nation itself or the land, London, the crown, and Britain would actually fall, okay? It would fall and they would lose their power. And so when this was revealed to me, I realized that they have been using these ravens as a way of practicing witchcraft in order to maintain their power structure, okay? And I'm going to be getting off into a few things because I ended up watching Snow White. Many of you who are within my age group or even older remember the first version of Snow White. I want you all, when you get a chance, to go back and watch that movie because there are very vital things that are within that particular movie that see as a direct connection to this particular queen, Elizabeth, and the agenda that was surrounding the magic, the dark magic and spell work that they was doing in order to maintain their power. So it is said that these ravens have been captive since around 1660 during the reign of King Charles II. So they've had these things there for quite some time now. They've been keeping these ravens intentionally, strategically, capturing them, breeding them, and placing them on the land of London in order to maintain power. And so it's also said that let me see, where did I have that at? It's also said that these particular ravens, okay, so this says the ravens are used for magic and protective qualities, okay? This is what the ravens are there for, magic and protective qualities. So then you have to ask yourself, well, what magic are they doing? Why do they need to do magic for any reason, right? And how is a raven protecting their land? So this is what I have here. During executions, the ravens were brought in to dramatize the killings. So when they would execute people or behead them, they would bring the ravens in to dramatize the gory scene of executing someone. So to pretty much bring more fear and, I guess, to incite fear and to, you know, create this illusion of power and authority with the ravens. And so the origin is believed to have begun with King Charles II, who requested initially, this particular King Charles II requested to have these ravens removed off of the land, largely because he had an issue with the dropping. So he would go out onto the landmass and walk about and find that it was too many droppings everywhere. So he actually put out, you know, an order to have them removed. But he had with him an astronomer who he sought counsel from. Okay, this astronomer was like his right-hand man. And this astronomer's name was John Flamsteed. And this particular astronomer told him, no, don't kill the birds. Do not remove them from the land, because if you do that, that will bring bad luck. And the moment that you kill the ravens, the crown of London will fall and so will Britain. Every part of the power structure will come crumbling down if you get rid of these ravens. And so at the, you know, the warning instruction of his astronomer, John Flamsteed, Charles II, King Charles II, I have a hard time calling these people kings and queens, so they are not, okay? But this particular King Charles II decided to take the advice of his astronomer, because at that point, I guess he had never failed him or sent him off. And so he told him, hey, this is a bad omen. If you do this, it's going to cause things to come falling down. And so he decided to keep them. And so from that point on, they have been breeding ravens. You know, some of them flew away and never came back, or some of them died. They made sure that they kept more on the land. So they ended up coming up with the number 6. That's generally the number of ravens that they want to keep on this landmass. And so they always make sure that they have that particular number, okay? Now, there's also... I also have here that in 2003, Vladimir Putin, which is the president of Russia, right, visited and was shocked to hear one of the ravens who was named Thor. Now, y'all know that Thor is one of the European gods, right? I think he's like a Roman god or something like that. So this raven specifically, the raven's name was Thor. And when Putin visited, this raven was greeting them and saying things to them, saying good morning to him and all of his team that came in with him. Okay, so the raven was actually talking, right? Now, this part in particular is what drew me to what I'm getting ready to tell you about, is what drew me to the movie Snow White. So there is a particular, being is through the Welsh mythology, okay, by the name of Bran the Blessed. And Bran the Blessed was a giant, but was also considered the king of Britain, okay? Bran the Blessed, his skull, it said that he placed an order out to have his, to be beheaded, and to have his head buried on the land of London. Okay, I'm having a hard time speaking for some reason. I guess they don't want this message getting out. But this particular Welsh mythology said that Bran the Blessed, who was the king of England, but also a giant, right, in order to have himself beheaded and to have his head placed in the landmass of London, in order to ensure that the area will always be secure and protected. So then you would say, okay, there is a skull that could potentially be buried in the land for the sake of protection. And Bran specifically, get this, Bran means raven, okay? So, yes, and the skull is supposed to be buried in London, facing the continent as a protective talisman against invasion. So it was placed there strategically to protect the land, but then Bran also means raven. And so this is where I believe that a large part of their desires to begin putting ravens on the land came through that as well, through this particular person's name of protection. And so then I started thinking, and I was like, you know, they tell you a lot of stories here. A lot of truth comes through these fairy tale movies and things like that, Disney movies, especially the ones that deal with like princesses and queens and kings and stuff like that. And so I decided to, you know, just kind of do a quick search to see what movie actually had ravens in it. And I was immediately drawn to Snow White. So I said, okay, well, let me sit down and watch Snow White tonight and see what comes from this. So as soon as the movie comes on, starts off with Snow White, who's outside, you know, just la-la-la-la-la, singing and, you know, being jolly with nature and the animals and stuff like that. And the queen overlooking her from the castle, she's looking down and she's giving her this evil, wicked look that says, I can't stand her. You know, she can't stand the love that she's exuding and the fact that she's connected to nature and the fact that she's beautiful and humble and all of these things, right? And so the queen decides to put out an order to have Snow White sent off into the wilderness. And once she gets to the wilderness, the order was to take her heart out and bring it back to her to pretty much verify that she was dead. Now, this particular queen had a pet in her castle with her, okay? And it was a raven. And when the movie first begins, this raven is sitting on a skull head, okay? The raven is sitting on a skull. So automatically I put two and two together because remember, Bran the Blessed, whose head, who was beheaded, right? This mythology or what, you know, and was placed in the landmass of London facing the continent for the sake of protection from invasion. And Bran also means raven. And then this movie comes on and there's a raven sitting on top of the skull in the queen's, the wicked queen's living quarters. It says a lot. So this wicked queen that was in Snow White was very dark. She was always working up her little brew, doing dark magic, specifically though against Snow White, who was the princess who would have been the next in line to take the throne upon the death of this so-called queen. Now, mind you, Snow White was not her actual daughter. This was her evil stepmother. So that means that, you know, by default, she ended up being underneath the care, so-called care, of this evil stepmother who did not want to see her take the throne, because she knew that Snow White would bring an energy of love and peace and balance to the world, while she brought in this very wicked and dark energy, largely because she was bitter and she was very much so in her ego, wicked, and in her carnal nature. And so she put out the order to have Snow White killed. So fast forward, Snow White goes out into the wilderness. And the man who was supposed to kill her could not do it because the energy that she exuded was so full of love that he could not carry out the assignment. And so Snow White gets ran off further into the wilderness. Fear is what actually chased her further into the wilderness. And she started seeing all of these different faces in the trees, but everything was scaring her at this point. She went from having this connection to nature to being scared of everything around her. In that moment of fear, it chased her further into the wilderness, but she landed exactly where she was supposed to be. And when she got there, the animals began to come in and assist her because she had already created that divine connection with them. She exuded the energy of love. From this point, the seven dwarves, if y'all remember the seven dwarves, the only thing they knew how to do was work. And the thing was, when I watched the movie, I was like, wow, they were mining for diamonds and crystals, you know, when they first started showing them. And so they're out there, you know, mining these jewels, okay? And that's the only thing that they know how to do, because when Snow White gets into the house, she's like, wow, it's just filthy in here. Now, what I immediately picked up on in terms of the seven dwarves is that it actually stands for the distorted masculine energy, because all of the dwarves were all males, right? And dwarf had his own personality traits. One was angry, one was a doc. You know, he had a lot of wisdom, but he was easily influenced and shook up by the one that was angry, right? And then you had sleepy, and then you had, you know, different ones. So I feel like each one of them, when I started looking at the colors that they was wearing, I did see, like, the spectrum of the chakra colors. You know, I was able to detect that, you know, between the shirt, the pants, and the little caps that they had on. So I immediately picked up on this was a fractured masculine energy. Mind you, though, Snow White was also in a very feminine energy, but she was leaning so far into her feminine energy that she had no balance when it came to feminine and masculine energy. So she didn't know how to create those healthy boundaries or to stand up for herself or to speak up for herself. The only thing that she knew was love, nurturing, and things of that nature, but also very submissive and passive, too passive, to where this evil queen was able to work against her and to ultimately trick her into biting the apple. Now, one thing about Snow White, though, is that she stayed in this energy of dreaming and constantly fantasizing. She had met this prince, and this prince picked up on her energy. He heard her singing from far away, and he picked up on her energy, and they made this connection. That's what I wanted to get back to, because this queen, the only reason why she put out the order for Snow White to be killed was because as she stood overlooking Snow White from that window, she saw that this prince was drawn to Snow White, and she saw that connection. It was a divine union that had taken place there, and she did not want that divine union through where Snow White would be rescued and would ultimately be able to move on and live happily ever after with her divine masculine. And so she said, no, I'm going to put an end to this. I want her dead. But when the man could not carry out the mission, at that point she said, well, I'm going to take it upon myself. And so she turned herself into this old, shriveled up lady, right? And she said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to play like I'm very innocent and I'm just this needy old lady, because she knew that Snow White was a natural nurturer and would, you know, naturally welcome her in because she just cared, you know, that much and was very naive at the same time. And so fast forward through all of this, the thing is, she did get Snow White to bite the apple and convince Snow White that if she bit this apple, she would receive everything that she had desired, her heart desired, and the only thing that Snow White wanted was her king. She wanted her prince by her side and to live happily ever after. And so she bit the apple, and the apple was to put her to sleep. Now, when the evil queen was brewing up or coming up with this particular potion, she had to read a book to come up with this potion. She also needed to know if there was an antidote to the potion. So she said, no, I need to know this just in case. So she looked up the antidote. And the antidote was, if Snow White was to ever, the only way that Snow White could come out of sleep is if she is kissed, if she has love's first kiss, okay? Her love, true love's first kiss. So it would have to be her divine masculine that will come in and awaken her from sleep. So I do feel that Snow White was sent in to heal the distorted masculine energy, the fractured masculine energy, which was in seven parts, she had to nurture and heal and clean, because she had to show them how to cleanse themselves, take baths to cleanse their energy. She had to show them, you know, she nurtured them, she fed them. And so it was that feminine energy that came in to heal the masculine of the seven dwarves, because all they knew to do was work. They didn't do anything else but work. And so they was too much in their lower nature, but she came in and she shifted that. Even the most angry of the dwarves ended up shifting the energy into love and was, you know, able to balance out his masculine and feminine towards the end. And so, of course, you know, fast forward, she ended up biting the apple, falling asleep, and the prince came in. Well, first of all, the queen ended up killing herself. She tried to kill the dwarf when they was trying to come after her, to tackle her, because she had done Snow White. And in that very moment, she was at the top of a mountain, at the very peak of this mountain, and she was getting ready to throw this huge boulder of rock down the mountain towards the dwarfs to kill them. But instead, it rolled back onto her, and a bolt of lightning struck on her, bam, and she fell off the mountain. And from there, she got eaten by vultures. So she pretty much created her own death through her wickedness. And Snow White was under sleep, but she ended up being awakened by her divine masculine through his love. So it was almost like the seven dwarfs represented the masculine that still needed the nurturing and the healing, so that ultimately after Snow White, after the feminine energy had done her work, she could rest. But in her resting state, it would take for her masculine to come in order to awaken and for the two to come together to create the kingdom and to take back the throne. So I know that was pretty lengthy, but when you go watch the movie, you'll understand. So what I'm picking up here is that the black magic that was being done with these ravens in London largely was targeted towards the divine union. And because these divine unions will come together and reclaim the throne, king and queen, God and goddess coming in to balance out the masculine and feminine energy of the universe. This is what these people did not want. And so there has been a lot of wicked dark magic that I feel was taking place right there on that land through those ravens, using the energy of the ravens and other entities and demons to do spell work and to send out this energy of keep the divine masculine and feminine asleep and from coming together. And that way, in that energy, we maintain rulership, and they never come together to take back their throne or their position. There was a lot of wickedness that was happening there. And so now the lightning bolt has struck. Y'all remember this, but this lightning bolt just struck in front of the nation's capital. Okay, right in front of the White House, that lightning bolt, it was a symbolic of something. And I feel like it was telling these people and also alerting us that empires are getting ready to fall. People who was in those positions of power are getting ready to be put to death. This is only one, but y'all are going to be seeing, it's going to be more, okay? Please believe it's getting ready to be more. There's a declaration that I would like for you all to do that I've already done myself in regards to. I want to tell y'all this declaration first, because I know that I get long-winded and some of y'all are not going to stay until the end of this message, okay? I want to tell y'all this declaration. It's a very short one. But this is to shift the energy of the ravens, because the Most High has given us dominion over all the creatures of the land, especially when you operate from a space of integrity. And so because they have been using these ravens, they really are strongly reliant upon these ravens, okay? And I pulled the cards to see what would happen if these ravens were no longer on this land, and the power came out two times. So I know that there is something to this. So this one is a declaration that you will write down and burn. It says, I declare and decree that the spell work, dark magic, an evil intention conjured to secure Britain are now are now cast out and destroyed. Now, I want to say to secure the United Kingdom and London. So I'm going to say this again. I declare and decree that the spell work, dark magic, and evil intentions conjured to secure the United Kingdom and London are now cast out and destroyed. All dark energy of the ravens across the globe is now destroyed forevermore in spirit and in flesh. So I'm going to say it one more time just in case y'all didn't get it. I declare and decree that the spell work, dark magic, and evil intentions conjured to secure London and the UK, the United Kingdom, are now cast out and destroyed. All dark energy of the ravens across the globe is now destroyed forevermore in spirit and in flesh. So this is us stripping that dark energy from the ravens so that they can no longer use them as a tool to create a dark energy to maintain their kingdom, because they are strongly reliant upon these ravens. The moment one of them dies out, they're working vigorously to make sure that another one takes that one's place. So this is a big deal for these people, okay? And so then I would like for you all to light a candle, but specifically a black candle to represent the raven, which is a black bird. So a black candle, you're going to get a black permanent marker. You want the candle to be encased in glass so that you can write on it. And so you're going to write, all ravens across the four corners of the globe vibrate the energy of love, peace, and light only in spirit and in flesh. And you let that candle burn through in a safe place, of course, right? And so that's what I'm suggesting that you do. Let me read that part again. On the candle, you're going to write, all ravens across the four corners of the globe vibrate the energy of love, peace, and light only in spirit and in flesh. Okay? So for those of you that are doing that with me, thank you. For those of you that put it in the description box or the comments, thank you. I appreciate y'all. I love you. So now I want to move off into, because I know this is a little bit lengthy, I want to see, once the ravens are no longer on the land, once the ravens are, let me just say that the ravens are no longer projecting or vibrating the energy of wickedness and darkness to assist them in their spell work, is, look at what I'm cutting the deck here at the world and the emperor. The emperor deals with empires, okay? The emperor is the head of empires. The world is here. This indicates the closing of a cycle, a chapter coming to an end, a completion of something here, okay? What is the energy? Once the raven across the four corners of the globe is vibrating the energy of love and peace and light only, okay? How is that going to look for the UK? Look at that. They're blocked. No forward movement is coming out. The Eight of Wands in the reverse and the Two of Swords is here, okay? This is a blocked energy here, okay? This is a blocked energy for these people. So let me just see. We're going to keep pulling and see here. What is the energy, okay? So it looks like bad karmic energy is coming in, okay, because this is strength right here. We regain our strength again, because that was the whole point of this situation. That was the whole point of them doing the spell work and the dark magic, was to maintain their power. So it was all about overpowering everyone else in order to be in this position of authority, and to ensure that no foreign invaders would be able to come in, right? And so the Queen is in the reverse. Queen of Cups is in the reverse, and so is the Wheel of Fortune. Star card is in the reverse, so there is no hope, no wish fulfillment, and they are going to deal with some heavy karmic cycles now because of what they was doing. This was all darkness, y'all, and these people, they was doing it right in front of the world's faces, right up underneath your noses. They then had these birds out there, these ravens out there, but nobody questioned, well, why are they here? What is the whole purpose, and why do you have to make sure that you maintain a certain number of ravens on this land? Nobody questioned it. At least I didn't. if you question it, please leave a comment down below so that I can know that you actually paid attention or noticed these things. Because when it was brought to me, it blew my mind. Look at that, the Three of Swords. Look at this. Look at what's peeking out here. The Ten of Swords. These people are in trouble, okay? Once they don't have the ability to use the things that the Most High created at their disposal for their wicked plans and agendas, specifically these ravens, their whole empire falls. The astronomer told this to so-called King Charles II way back in 1660, okay? He warned him. And so underneath the advice of his right-hand man who was able to look at the stars, an astronomer, this is somebody who was able to tap into energy. He knew, what consequences they would face if they did not continue in this witchcraft in order to maintain their throne. And so he told them, keep the birds here. Get rid of the birds. It's over with. They buried the head of this brand, whoever this is, brand the blessed, based in the continent to ensure that nothing would be invaded. And again, brand stands for raven. You go and look at the movie Snow White. The queen had a raven sitting on top of a skull. All she did was work in darkness and in wickedness. And so when you think about, well, why was they doing this? It was to prevent the divine masculine and feminine unions from coming together, because that is the true royal family, okay? And so they needed to maintain this facade. They needed to be the fairest of them all, okay? And so in order to do that, they had to bedazzle and to fool the people into thinking, oh, that is the royal family. There is none other. There's none like them. They are the most powerful of all royal families, but you had to do spell work in order to convince the world that this was the case. Once the spell is lifted, then everybody sees exactly who and what you are. And so this is where we step in, because we already have that divine connection to nature, to the animals, to the elements, to the Most High God, to our spiritual team and our ancestors. We have that divine connection to where we put that energy out there that, no, we ain't got to kill off the ravens, because the ravens is not the problem. It's the energy that they projected off onto the ravens to use to create their spell work and dark magic that's the problem. And so because we have been granted the authority, to use our authority to shift the energy when it comes to all of the Most High's creations, including ourselves, we say we're going to shift the energy of the ravens. We're going to do our declaration to cast out that dark energy from them, and we're going to light our candle to shift it so that they only vibrate love, light, and peace. So now what are you going to do? Because you're so heavily reliant on these ravens to do your dark magic and witchcraft, so much so that you put it in movies for the world to see, right up underneath your noses, because the thing is, the enemy cannot hide everything. They have to give a little bit of what's going on in order to, it's almost like if we show them what's happening and they still don't see it, they still don't put two and two together, that's not our fault. That's your bad for not picking up on it. And so we gave you the opportunity to know, that way it's your free will. You are pretty much telling us that what we're doing is okay, because we told you through Snow White. You knew it was ravens sitting out there in that yard, and that we've been maintaining them things for years now, over 200 years. You knew that, 400, however long that is, 1660 up until now. You knew that that was happening, right? And so because you was aware of this and you never said anything, we told you through Snow White. We told you we had a skull here. We told you that the ravens was going to be there and that we had to keep a certain number of them. And, yeah, we put the message out there, because when the ravens would get lost, they would have people from the community that would bring them back. So they knew the importance. This was not just, a trend or just, some little pets to have flying around. No, they was doing dark magic, and they had to tell you through something in order to get your permission. And so this is what these people have been doing. So the overall outcome of where things are getting ready to go for the UK, for London, oh my goodness, it ain't a game. Y'all see that? It ain't no game out here, okay? the Ten of Swords is a very, very painful ending because of all of the darkness that these people have operated from. These people have done all types of, I'm picking up on all types of spell work and witchcraft. I'm talking about sacrifices, blood sacrifices. You know, a lot of people say, you know, the reptilians and the shape-shifting energy, you know, when you look at certain of these so-called rulers of, you know, the royal family, this thing has been dark and it has been wicked as hell for a long time. And so this is the ultimate. This is where they are headed as a result of what they've been doing. So, yeah, things are getting ready to be real off balance over there. You know, they're going to have a hard time with the shift that's getting ready to take place here. It's going to be some waves that they're going to have to face here, and I don't think they're going to be emotionally prepared for it because they don't have any divine protection. There's no divine protection for these people because of the things that they have done. It's getting ready to be real heavy, very burdensome. It's going to be real hard for them to carry these burdens because, you know, you reap what you sow. You can't go around here. You ain't got no love in your heart. You know, you offering the world false love, a false perception of who you really are. You know, I guess they figure, oh, she's just a little old cute lady. It's just so sweet. And all behind closed doors, that was brewing up some stuff, okay, with an intention to block and to stay on top, okay? I'm going to protect my position as the royal family at all costs, even if it means bloodshed, betrayal. You know, I'm bloodthirsty for this position, and no one is going to stop me, okay? And so, yes, they was doing it all behind the scenes. They was doing it all, okay? But now with the sun coming out, the truth is being revealed. Nothing can be hidden. When the sun comes out, that means nothing. Look at that, two times. Nothing can be hidden. That's double confirmation. The truth is right there in front of your face. When the sun is illuminating something, the sun outpowers any darkness. It's in your face. The truth has been revealed in regards to what these people were doing. Let me take one more card here. Well, I got two. Look at this. We got the Seven of Cups and the Eight of Swords being set free, okay? Those of us who was affected, you know, other nations of people, because believe me, they had a specific targeted group of who they wanted to keep down, the true royal family, okay, the true royal family. But with the Seven of Cups, that illusion, we're coming up out of that. We're coming up out of that, okay? And so no longer in these chains, no longer chained and bound, okay, to the confusion and the illusions that were being created. So let me just pull one message. Hold on, baby. One message from my book here. And so the 48 Laws of Power, I just want to see now that these changes have taken place, certain people of rulership have now expired. We are doing the work to shift the energy for the ravens all across the globe, so that they're now only projecting love, light, and peace. What do we need to know at this point? What's the message here? Okay. Now, I think if y'all recall back a while back, I ended up coming across this message here about the cat's paw. I'm going to read this right here because this is what's standing out in red. The cat's paw, it has long claws to grab things. It is soft and padded. Take hold of the cat and use its paw to pluck things out of the fire. To claw your enemy, to play with the mouse before devouring it. Sometimes you hurt the cat, but most often it doesn't feel a thing. So in the past when I ended up reading this message, oh my God, hold up, wait, listen, let me put this book real close. I don't even know if y'all going to be able to see this. I'm looking up, y'all, and this literally says Queen Elizabeth up here, right here. Oh, my goodness. I hope y'all can see this because I surely can't tell. Mm-hmm. It literally says Queen Elizabeth right there. Right there where my finger is at. What the heck is going on? Let me see this. finally, you may well find cases in which deliberately offering yourself as the cat's paw will ultimately gain you great power. This is the root of the perfect courtier. It is a symbol of Sir Walter Raleigh, who once placed his own cloak on the muddy ground so that Queen Elizabeth would not sully her shoes. As the instrument that protects a master or peer from unpleasantness or danger, you gain immense respect, which sooner or later will pay dividends. And remember, if you can make your assistant subtle and gracious rather than boastful and burdensome, your recompense will be that of your recompense will be that much more satisfying and powerful. Y'all, this is tripping me out. Okay, I do these readings a lot, but this is tripping me out. I mean, what's the odds that I'm going through this book? This book has over 500 pages. And I turn right to the page that speaks about Queen Elizabeth, and that's what the hell we talking about? Listen, this the Most High is speaking. I don't care what anybody say about the work that I do. Folks got it twisted over here. Listen, so do everything pleasant yourself, everything unpleasant through third parties. By adopting the first course, you win favor. By taking the second, you deflect ill will. Important affairs often require rewards and punishments. Let only the good come from you and the evil from others. So the cat's paw deals with using others to do your dirty work and you coming off to the world as being the innocent party, the do-gooder, okay? And so that's what I was telling you all about the little old sweet lady, when in fact behind closed doors, there's been a whole lot of wickedness that's been going on behind the scenes, but they needed to have a space that would fool the masses into thinking that everything that they was doing was of honor and integrity. They was using the cat's paw to get away with it, given having someone else get burnt and to do the dirty work while they came out looking and appearing clean, okay? But behind the scenes, blood is on their hands. And so this is why the cards that I pulled came out to show you all this. This is not a game. Do the declaration, y'all. We got to do this thing in numbers. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. Y'all, the watchmen that's out there, keep me posted on things that's coming through because I'm telling you this right here, that was amazing for me. That was that was amazing for me that it goes right into speaking about the same person that this whole message is in regards to. So listen. They did the dirty work behind the scenes. They created an illusion for the world. And so now that we have shifted things, the fact of the matter is we got the sun coming out two times. Everything is illuminated. Now we see clearly. Our spiritual eyes are clearly open. And so when your spiritual eyes are open to what is happening concerning the spiritual warfare, then you're able to have a fair fight. And what happens? Honesty, integrity, love, and compassion always wins. The Most High, the Holy Angels, the Holy Spirit, our ancestors of love and light, Yeshua, always wins. Okay? We win. And so that's what happened in Snow White. They ended up taking back their throne. The divine masculine and feminine came together. The wicked queen died. The lightning strike was symbolic of her losing her life. And that's all I'm going to say, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. I'm tripped out. I got to go back and watch this. But I love you all. And if you want a private reading from me, just email me. If you want to order my body or hear orders, email me. And I will talk to you all next time. Hey, what's going on, everybody? My name is Shavi Zane. And I'm coming on to bring a message for you all in regards to a series of dreams that I've had over the past few days. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to everybody that has been donating to my channel. I thank you all and I appreciate you, as well as those of you who are sending me emails and like and subscribe to my channel and who are also having personal readings done by me. I appreciate those of you who trust me to bring you the clarity that you need, okay? So let's get right into these dreams I've been having. So one of them was cut off short, but I'm going to kind of tell you how it came through. So in my first dream, my children was chasing a caterpillar, okay? And the caterpillar was running away from my children. Like, it was moving fast to be a caterpillar, and it ended up getting sucked up by a toy. Like, literally the battery part of the toy grabbed the caterpillar and snapped it right in. And I was looking and observing this toy like, okay, what just happened? You know, I was kind of confused trying to take it apart to see what happened, but I couldn't take it apart. And so apparently, you know, the caterpillar was safe. That was the end of that. I ended up waking up and finding out that my children had actually taken a caterpillar from outside and they flushed it down the toilet. So a part of me was awake, hearing what was happening around me, but the other part was in the dream state, you know. And so my interpretation of what I received through my dream state was that. So I'll get into what I believe these things mean as I move ahead. The other part of my dream, it was very short because I got woken up out of my sleep by my children prematurely. And when I woke up, there was a woman that was saying to me, she said, whatever you do, make sure that you get around people who are in high vibrational energy because something big is getting ready to happen. That's all I heard. And my child came in and woke me up early in the morning. And so, you know, I laid there after a minute after I took care of him, and I'm like, what, you know, I would like to know what else was in that dream in order for her to say that, but I couldn't recall any other part of my dream. And so I prayed, and I was like, okay, I told the Most High, if it's meant for me to understand that aspect of what was told to me, then let me, you know, travel in my dream state to get more answers. And so I did. And so this next part of my dream is a separate dream. It's a little bit more lengthy, okay? And so in this dream, I was at like an all-melanated type of expo or some sort of event where people was marketing their talents and their gifts to one another. And one of the ladies, her talent was cosmetology. She was doing braids, you know, beautiful braids. She ended up doing my hair, something that I would never wear in real life. You know, it was blonde with all different types of colors. But, you know, I like the dream. And another lady walked up to me while I was admiring my hair, and she said, what's your favorite color lipstick? And I was like, oh, my favorite color lipstick is plum. So if you have plum lipstick, I'll be down right away to purchase some. So she was like, no, you don't have to purchase anything. They're free. All you got to do is come downstairs. I was like, okay, you know, I'm there. I'm on my way. And so I get ready to walk with her to the elevator, and I realized I had this huge bag with me. I was like, oh, I got this huge bag with me. Let me go drop this bag off because I don't want to be tugging this around when I come downstairs. So I'm going to meet you down there. So I walked further down, and I ended up walking into this huge crowd of people. And what I noticed, what stood out the most, was that two men were there, and both of them was blind. I knew they were blind because they had on the dark shades, and they was carrying like the walking stick. Both of them had like white walking sticks. And one of the blind men was literally guiding the other blind man. And the first thing that I thought in the dream was, wow, this is literally a picture of the blind leading the blind. This is what I'm eyewitnessing, right? And so the blind man that was being led, he had this bag with him. And for some reason, the handle on the bag, you know how, I guess you would, like one of those carrying pouches, but it has a really long strap. Some people might call it a man bag or something like that. So the strap was like super, super long. And I'm looking at it like, why is the strap so long? The strap ended up getting caught on a pole that was behind him. And so he's standing there tugging on the strap, you know. And so because it was so long, it literally stretched way back to where another group of people were standing. Now, mind you, all of these people were not blind. These, you know, they was all, you know, able to see perfectly fine. And they was literally watching, observing this man struggle, trying to release himself from whatever his bag had gotten caught on. And so I stood there for a minute like, okay, I'm sure that one of these grown folks, one of these melanated people is going to help this man take this strap off of this pole because they're observing it. They see what's happening. Nobody moved, okay? Nobody moved. And what I did notice is that everybody was standing in line as well. And so I don't know if people was just saying, you know, they was in their ego, like, I'm not about to get out of my spot in line. I'm not going to lose my spot in line. And so they literally watched this man struggle. So I said, you know what? Let me take myself on over here and help free him from this entrapment. So it was simple. All I had to do was lift it up off the pole, and he was free. And then I woke up. So, okay. I have a few things that's coming in regards to what this means for the collective, okay? So in terms of the caterpillar dream, for me, that's all about transformation. Because, you know, the caterpillar usually starts off as, you know, as the caterpillar and turns into the butterfly after it goes through the cocoon phase, and, you know, the metamorphosis and all of these things. But the caterpillar was not safe, right? My children were chasing it, whatever it is they were getting ready to do. The caterpillar was not safe. And so it ended up being taken into safety. The caterpillar was backed into safety. And it was like, I feel like for those people who have yet to go through the transformation, the spiritual awakening, there are people who are being, like, the process is they're being catapulted into transformation. Like they're being, you might as well say, almost like a forced energy. So you might find that people that you know personally, or if it's you yourself, have situations that's happening around you that's forcing you into hermit mode. It's forcing you into the transformation. So it's like, I didn't anticipate this. I didn't see this coming, but it's actually taking you into safety, because otherwise you would be in danger. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to go through the transformation. If you're caught as a caterpillar, then you never reach the stage of becoming the butterfly, where you're able to fly high and see more. And so that particular dream stood out to me. And then with the woman telling me, okay, make sure that you get around people that's in high vibrational energy, because something big is getting ready to happen. I feel like those two dreams made sense as well when I put them together, because it was like, if you're not around somebody that's in a higher energy than you are, then you're in trouble. If you're around people, because it actually goes with both parts of the dream, okay, because I asked for clarity and I received the other dream in terms of the blind man leading the other blind man. And so if you are not in a space of, you know, you've gone through the transformation, or there's not a whole lot that you understand about the spiritual journey, you still, you know, kind of working through it, or you're getting like slight exposure here and there, but you haven't really gained the full understanding of what's happening with you, then you're being forced into isolation. Because either you're going to be in isolation, away from people who are low vibrational in energy, or you're going to be blessed with someone who is able to actually assist you through your transformative process. So for those of you who have already awakened, you might find that maybe there's certain people who are, they seem like they're, you know, magnetized to you at this time. And so it could be because you're being called to use your gift to kind of help, you know, give them a little nudge here and there, give them some clarity and some understanding of the changes that they're going through emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And so this could be people that's in your immediate circle, or this could be people that just randomly come to you and you give them certain wisdom that's going to help to awaken greater things within them, okay? But either way, there seems to be a haste that's happening here concerning the transformation process. And so specifically with the dream about the blind man leading the blind, that's what's happening far too often, okay? I feel like the blind man that was leading the other blind man, he had good intentions, he had honest intentions, but the fact of the matter is he was no real help to this man in his time of need. He couldn't help him to see where his problems began, took root, nor could he help him to release from whatever was having that stronghold on him, okay? And so it would take for a person who was aware, but not just people that are aware. That's the thing. You want to be very careful, because the dream spoke volumes. It was two different messages. The people who was observing the man while he was trapped on this pole, their eyes was open. They could clearly see the root of his problem. And in spite of that, in spite of them being there in numbers as well, they still stood there and watched this man struggle rather than offering themselves up to be of service to someone who was obviously in need. So the fact of the matter is, you may come around many different people during your transformation process who have an understanding. They are awakened to certain things, but they don't have the heart. They don't have the compassion. They don't have the empathy to be of service and to use that wisdom to help other people to get out of their position, okay? And so very rarely, it's going to be far and few between, will you come across somebody who's not only awakened, but they're also willing to be of service at the same time and to set aside their own ego, their own selfish wants. Because, see, if I had not missed that elevator, if I had not missed that elevator and been rerouted, I would have been downstairs trying on some plum-colored lipstick. You see what I'm saying? Meanwhile, this blind man would have been upstairs, stuck on a pole, you know, like a dog that had been left stray, just stuck on a pole while his owner just went about his life, while a whole bunch of people who could clearly see his dilemma just stood around and watched, you know, as if it was a spectacle, as if it was entertainment, and, you know, refused to help because they want to make sure that they don't lose their spot in line. And see, that's another part of the message in terms of losing your spot in line because, see, there's a lot of people who have awakened who feel like this is a race to the finish line. This is a race to see who's going to get there first. Oh, I woke up before you. I've been woke since 1992. You just now woke up in 2022. And so technically I'm supposed to be superior. I'm supposed to be in this higher ranking, I'm supposed to be able to stay in my ego because I've earned my right to be here, right? There's a lot of people that still in their ego in spite of their wisdom, or I won't even call it wisdom, in spite of their knowledge. Because for me, wisdom is something that is knowledge that you use to shift your circumstances. It's no good to have a bunch of knowledge and intelligence about a specific subject matter if you're not going to be able to, if you're not going to use it as a tool to help yourself and as a tool to help others. And so I feel like this is where in the dream it was emphasized, make sure that you are surrounding yourself by people who are in a higher vibrational energy, people who have done the work, people who are unselfishly willing to guide you when they see that you are in a position. Or even when, for those people who have awakened, let's just say you have intuitive gifts, and you can clearly see where a person's stronghold is, but it would be selfish of you as an intuitive person or someone who has strong spiritual insight to see something in someone who is in a position of need. Now, I'm not saying you just go around just, okay, yeah, I see this in you, so let me tell you what you need to do. I'm talking about someone who's in need of help, who's literally in front of you, letting you know, I need somebody to help me to release myself from this, but yet you still just kind of give them the, you know, you don't give them any bit of wisdom, but you clearly see the bind. You see the stronghold that's over them, and you still don't give them an understanding of how to release themselves from it or to take it a step further and, you know, maybe even do it for them. You know, it depends, you know, it depends on what it is, obviously. I feel like the more powerful thing, though, is to show someone how to free themselves. And so because I awakened from my dream state early, you know, naturally for me in the 3D, I'm a natural caretaker, you know. I worked as a CNA for 12 years, and then I worked as a registered nurse for 5 years. And so for me, it comes natural. If I see somebody that's in need, especially if they're disabled or in a physical, you know, predicament where they need some assistance, I'm there, you know. And so in my dream state, had I not awakened, more than likely, I would have completely forgotten about the plum lipstick. I would have taken this man, you know, arm in arm, and I would have assisted him in getting to wherever it is he needed to go. I would have led this blind man, and I would have been his eye. Not everybody has that type of empathy and compassion for those people who are at a crossroads and going through or headed towards their transformation. And so, like I said, whether it's you, but many of the people that's attracted to my channel or that visit frequently are, you know, pretty elevated when it comes to their transformation. But I'm also attracting people who are just now beginning their transformative process. And so either way, no person is better than the other. It just says, okay, well, you got here first, and so we can help each other out. You know, I see many people in the comment section, and I appreciate that too when, you know, people have questions and, you know, I can't always get to everything. Y'all know I got 6 babies and, you know, a lot that's going on in my personal life. And so I can't always get to the comments like I want to. But I see many of you who have spiritual insights who will answer people when they need assistance with certain things. And so many of you just have a natural nurturing energy about yourself where you're very balanced when it comes to your masculine and feminine energies, and you recognize the times that we are in. And so it will be very selfish of those of us who have gone through the transformative process to see someone with a stronghold and to not give them guidance on how to break themselves free from that situation when we know that they're blind to it. They can't see it. You see what I'm saying? So in that case, the person who can't see, who has a veil over their eyes, and I'm not talking about physical sight, I'm talking about spiritual sight in terms of where the strongholds have been, you can't really fault that person for whatever position they end up getting stuck in. Because in their minds, you know, like I said, it was the blind man meeting another blind man, in their minds, they're doing everything that they possibly can. And so are some of the people who actually care about them, but they just can't see in the spiritual realm. So you're going to find that for those of you who are already on a spiritual path and you know you have a spiritual calling, you're going to find that you may have people that come around you are either coming out of situations from being around people who clearly saw the position that they was in and didn't give two damn, okay? They watched them struggle, okay? Because a lot of people out here that's doing that. They know what's going on spiritually, but they won't say nothing because selfishly they're more concerned about their position in line and who's going to get there first. So they'll see them with their spiritual sight and they know, okay, you're struggling over there because your stronghold is a sexual addiction. You have a Jezebel spirit over you because of the molestation that you've gone through. Or you have that stronghold of that codependency. I'm not talking about just seeing the situation from the surface, you know, but seeing it in the spiritual realm. There's a lot of people that have that gift but would not use it to assist someone else because they fear that releasing that person or giving that person the tools to release themselves might place that person at the front of the line. And so they selfishly sit back and watch them struggle with a very, you know, egotistical intention that's all about self. And those people ultimately, they don't win. You see what I'm saying? Because that feel shows that even those people are in a very low vibrational state in spite of their knowledge. And so you'll find that you'll have people come, they'll come to you that's removing themselves from those types of people who watch them struggle, or they're being released from other people who was just blind and had no clue. And so this is that time where people are clinging to the chosen. And so you have to use your own discernment, of course, to determine who is really around you because they really need help with their growth process. They really need some guidance with this transformation process. And then who's around you because they just want to drain your energy and they just want to use up your knowledge and maybe try to take it, regurgitate it, and spit it out and claim it for themselves because they want to get to the front of the line. you're able to see that more clearly because you have this wisdom that you've been using. So the tool, your spiritual insight has become stronger because you've been using your wisdom to help free yourself and to help build yourself. And so your gifts have become much, much stronger. And so because they're stronger now, people can't really pull the wool over your eyes just like that. You know, so you'll know who's coming in with the right intention and who's not. And so I feel like that's the main thing that I wanted to get out there is that this is the time of surrounding ourselves with the right types of people at the right time. And if you yourself have not gone through the transformation or if this spiritual path is very new to you and you feel like you're being catapulted mm-hmm. into hermit mode, catapulted into this transformation, major changes are happening, major things are happening that's making you face certain things about yourself to force you to heal, it's largely because you are part of the body. And your purpose is greatly needed at this time. And so for that woman to say to me, get where you need to go around people who are in high vibrational energy because something big is getting ready to happen, that's a fair warning. I take that as being someone whispering in my ear, one of my spiritual team members, as guidance to me to let me know. We have watchmen that's around us in the spiritual realm is telling us that pay attention to the signs because things are getting ready to shift drastically, and those people that are supposed to be a part of the body of Christ consciousness who are supposed to evolve during this time of change are going to need you to help guide them, okay? So that's what that's the message that I have for you all. I hope that you all was able to keep up with the multiple dreams that I had, but you know, they all came together to make sense. So I can't think of anything else that I need to say at this point, but you know, leave your comments in the description box below. Be sure to like and subscribe to my channel. If you find my message that my messages resonate with you, share my page. You know, let other people know because sometimes that's all it takes is to share it with someone that you know has the right intention, but they just don't have the right directive. You see what I'm saying? They just don't know which way to go. They're at a crossroads. They don't know where to look. They don't know who to reach out to. You know, sometimes it just takes for you to share something with them, and suddenly it's like that aha moment. It makes a huge difference. It's that lightning bolt of, you know, wow. That just made so much sense, and then it puts them in this energy of seeking at that point. And so, you know, if you know anybody that might need a reading, send them my way. You know, I enjoy the work that I do largely because I'm not the type of reader that is going to just tell you, okay, well, this person is doing this person is doing that, you know, because you're seeking clarity about what people are doing. I'm going to tell you how you can clear your energy of this. I'm going to give you some of the spiritual tools that I personally use in order to alchemize my energy and balance myself out when things are not going so well, okay? Because personally right now, I got a lot of different things that's happening. But I know the importance of staying balanced. Address your feelings. Allow yourself to, you know, acknowledge your feelings and know that they are value, you know, value your own emotions, but don't sit in it is the whole point. And so I know how to give people the tools to shift their circumstances. And because of my spiritual wisdom, okay, I can point you in the right direction in terms of why this stronghold is here and what you can do to clear it out. And so everybody has their own gift to bring to the body, you know, and so I'm just bringing mine, and I love you all to support me in doing this, and I hope that I'm encouraging you all to do the same, because right now, in this time, this is when your gifts are needed more now than ever before. I love you all, and I'll talk to you all next time.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Shabby Zane. I'm coming on to bring a message that is entitled, Your ascension process requires a zero tolerance policy, okay? So as most of you know, especially the Chosen Seed, this is mainly geared towards the Chosen Seed. Most of the chosen, so you'd already know who they are by now. So if you're still asking the question of whether or not you're chosen, then you may still be awakening, but for the most part, we are awakened to who we are at this point. Now, as you all know, the ascension process, it looks very similar, but it's not 100% the same, right? We all have our own journey. It all has its own look and its own unique characteristics. But we do know that when you first go into that space of awakening, prior to going through that transformation, there's a lot of chaotic energy that happens in your life. So I would say within the past, if I have to put a number on it based on what I see from my end collectively, I would say within the past 7 years or less, if you notice that your life became very chaotic and you had a lot of really hectic scenarios that was happening around you that ultimately placed you in like hermit mode and like a space of isolation, then you know that you was definitely a part of the ascension and the awakening process, okay? So what happens is a lot of changes, a lot of chaotic energy happens around you. And it ends up placing you in what is known as the hermit mode. That's that isolation energy. And in the spiritual realm, it looks like you going into the cocoon in order to go through this massive transformation where you're releasing the old version of yourself and becoming someone new. And when you come out of that cocoon, now you're able to take new heights. Now you're able to fly higher because now you have your wings, okay? So in the cocoon, this is where you are going within. You're doing some deep soul searching. You're fully analyzing yourself, what caused you to attract certain people, places, and things to you. You're analyzing those people. You're analyzing past scenarios. You're analyzing everything from within. And also, one of the most important factors of being the cocoon phase and hermit mode is that you begin to create a stronger bond with the Most High, a stronger bond with your spiritual team, and a stronger bond with yourself. The hermit mode becomes very necessary because you don't want to have a lot of distracted noise and energy around you. So especially for those of you who are natural empaths who pick up on energy and emotions, and, you know, it would be hard to decipher what emotion is yours versus what emotion is coming from someone else if you have a lot of people around you during this time of awakening and you're starting to become more like the spiritual realm becomes that much more clear to you. And so you just pick up on energy just like that. And so it's hard for you to decipher which one is which. So that's why it's best to be in that space of isolation so that you know, okay, this is coming from within me. I have to do some work from within me so that I can clear and purge these energies, right? And so during this time, let's just say when you come out of isolation, when that transformative energy is done and you get released from that cocoon, you step out into the world a totally new creature. You look different. You speak different. You see the world differently, okay, because now you're flying higher. You're no longer on the surface as that caterpillar. Literally, the caterpillar is on ground level. But when you come out as that butterfly, you have ascended. So now you can fly higher. You can reach new heights now, new vessel that you have become after this death and rebirth, okay? So you die to your old self and you become a new person. So now you got to get back acclimated to society, people, places, and things, right? You come back out. You're around people again. Maybe even some of those people that you had to pull yourself back from, they end up resurfacing some type of way. And you find that at this point, you have a zero-tolerance policy. You start to have a much shorter or much smaller tolerance for anything that lacks integrity. And you start to make cuts. Like, you got that sword, and you only accepting the truth and nothing but the truth, and anything less than that, you making cuts. Okay, you come into my life, all right, I'm sensing something ain't right, I'm making cuts. That is a large part of your test. Talk about why it's a test on an individual scale and then what that means, what it's supposed to do on a, you know, when we talk about on a microcosmic to a macrocosmic level, on an individual scale to a group consciousness level, what that actually means, okay? So as an individual, this allows you to step into your power. This allows you to project that energy that says, I know my worth, I know my value. I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. I know what tolerating that type of energy did for me in my past, and I know what I'm not, why I'm not going to accept it, because it's not going to be a part of my future. You end up being in that energy where it's like you have zero tolerance. Your attention span for people who are in the wrong type of energy becomes very short. And you might start to question yourself, okay, well, am I being too hard? Should I be, you know, letting up a little bit because everybody is not on the same page? Listen, you have to yield that sort of truth and integrity. You have to take out those balance scales, and you have to measure a person's heart on those balance scales, okay? You have to measure a person's heart on those balance scales because, see, you understand the severity of going backwards. You did a lot of work to climb up that mountain. That thing was not easy. Going through that transformative process was not no simple wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I went through my transformation and now I'm back. It's not like that. It can take people, it depends on how much resistance you have while you're in that cocoon is going to determine how fast it's going to take for you to go through that full transformation before you can be released out into this new form of who you are being called to become. And so you come out, finally, you come from this cocoon and you've gone through this transformation. You're not going to let nobody come in and mess that up. You're not going to let anybody come in and push you back down or push you backwards. And so you do end up having tests that come your way. Because now it's like, so you've learned many lessons, and it's easy for you to accept those lessons when you were not being tested because you didn't have those people around you to test you while you was in a cocoon. But now that you are back out amongst society and amongst these people, you're going to be sent many different tests that's going to show whether or not you are really ready to use the tools that you have been given during your transformation and utilize them to keep to pretty much maintain a space of internal balance and peace within, you know, internally and externally. Are you going to use those tools and that wisdom that you have gained to ensure that you are not welcoming in the wrong types of energy? So on an individual level, this becomes very important because this is also a part of you continuing to grow and evolve. And as you continue to pass those tests, you'll find that those people, places, or things begin to fall away, and you attract less of that energy, and you begin to attract more of the energy that is in direct opposition to that, but it's in alignment with where you are headed. So people that do have integrity, people that are honest, people that are, you know, that are healed, that have self-love, you know, that type of energy, those types of things, people, places, the things you end up attracting to you because you passed that test now that you've gone through the transformation. So on an individual level, that's what that looks like. Now on a group consciousness level amongst the chosen, the reason why zero tolerance policy is a must is because, as you all know, the more that people do things, you have one person over here that's zero tolerance policy, then you have another person that's zero tolerance policy, and you continue to add that up. We are all creating one body, Christ consciousness. And so as we all step into our divinity and we're all out here like we're not going to tolerate anything less than what we deserve, we know what we deserve, we're stepping into our power, we're making cuts, we balancing people's heart, we balancing out their scales, we're trying to measure and to see, does it line up? Is it in alignment? Does it maintain balance internally for me and externally for my circumstance? Does it maintain balance? And the more people that do that in this Christ consciousness, in this body, what happens is the energy of the universe begins to shift on our behalf. And so we end up collectively projecting an energy that says zero tolerance policy for anything that lacks integrity. And so what happens as a result of that? All of these wicked structures, they come falling down. The U.S. corporation, all of these secret societies that have operated against us, any, you know, these other countries that have also worked against us, whoever was in that energy of doing things with a lack of integrity, dishonesty, they were doing things, you know, criminal behavior, you know, anything to gain power, anything to gain control or financial abundance, but they was doing it from a space of darkness, whether it be in the spiritual realm or in the physical realm, all of these structures have to then come down because we have projected an energy that says we will no longer accept anything less than what we deserve. And so naturally, this becomes the requirement of the universe. Everything must be in alignment now. Everything must be balanced now. Group consciousness, Christ consciousness has spoken. We have put the energy out there that the scales must now be balanced. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize the bigger picture of why we're being paired and why we are now operating from a certain energy. But we do notice that other people who have gone through the ascension process also have the same mindset. They also project that energy of zero tolerance policy. They also say that anything that lacks integrity, it is unacceptable. No matter what walk of life they came from or whatever path they had to walk in order to get there, we all come together collectively where it's like, no, we're not tolerating it. And so, again, group consciousness, Christ consciousness awakens, and we project the energy that says your structure, your power structure must now come down because you are not balancing the scales. You're just here to control, gain material wealth and abundance. And so everything that you're doing is in opposition to truth. It's in opposition to love. It's in opposition to compassion. It's in opposition to integrity. And so because of this, collectively, we are projecting an energy that is in opposition to you. And so then they must fall. They must bow down before Christ consciousness. Okay? Everybody has been sitting back waiting for this, you know, not everybody, but too many people have been under this illusion that it's supposed to be a white guy that comes floating from the sky, that's all soft and delicate, that comes through and says, and now everybody bows down before this white man because he comes in to exact justice, right? But really what it is that we all, as Christ consciousness, those of us who are chosen seeds, we step into our power. We do the work to heal on an individual level. We regain that divine connection to the Most High and our spiritual team. We break the generational curses, come out of that cocoon, transform. We begin to operate from a space of zero tolerance policy from those people around us on an individual scale. And as we all continue to do that, group consciousness, Christ consciousness comes together collectively to say, no, we now balance the scales because we all operate from a zero tolerance policy, which means your power structure can no longer stand spiritually or physically. And so this is why it is a requirement of us to, the moment that we see something that's out of alignment, the moment that we see something that can throw us off when it comes to our own peace of mind, or it'll take us backwards towards that person that we used to be, or guiding us towards the types of people that you was purposely removed from in order to grow, that's when you have to do the work. You have to look at it and say, is this, things remain balanced if I accept that energy? Can things remain balanced if I accept that person, place, or thing into my life right now? On an individual scale, you take a look at it, but when you begin to grow and evolve more, you start to see it from a much greater scale. Is this going to be in alignment with me as a part of the body? In this awakening, in Christ consciousness, will this throw things off? Will the scales be balanced for us if I accept this governmental structure that's trying to tell me that unless I get the miniature sword, I can't work? Okay, zero tolerance policy, I stand my ground on that. And so I pull back and I'm being guided down another path that's going to allow me to start my own business and do exactly what it is that I was dreaming about doing in the first place. Another example would be zero tolerance policy. If you're coming in and you're saying to me, you know, no more of this standing in line, voting for specific politicians and presidents to be placed into a position anymore, because I see that you all lack integrity. You've been lacking integrity. You've been working against myself, my ancestors, and my offspring. This has never been about balancing the scales. This has never been about operating from a space of integrity, because if it had, then, reparations would have been in place a long time ago. So zero tolerance policy, I no longer stand in your lines. You no longer get my signature to give you permission to keep your foot over my neck or the neck of or my offspring, okay? When it comes to these spiritual, these religious establishments, I'm just seeing the clock is saying 11:11. When I'm seeing these religious establishments, okay, and they come in saying, continue to suffer and wait on someone to come and save you, zero tolerance policy. You are telling me to be in a passive state and to not recognize that the Most High has given me the authority and the power to tear down these mountains. I don't have to wait for someone to save me, because I've been given the safety raft. I've been given all of the tools necessary to save myself. It all starts from within me. So, no, I cannot tolerate your teaching, and so I pull myself from your structure. Because this is not balancing the skills. It's actually throwing things off balance to keep people in a passive state, okay? When you turn on the TV and the news stations are saying, be aware, because we got the pox running around. We got the gorilla pox running around, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you better go and get this minister sword, okay? Be on alert. Turn it off. Zero tolerance policy. You are projecting the energy of fear. I don't tolerate that over here, okay? That is a fear tactic to keep me afraid of leaving my own home, okay? Zero tolerance policy. When you turn on your radio and the music is talking about you a hoe, you a bitch, they talking about your own people that look like you, telling you that you ain't worth nothing, and the only way that you can be worth something is if you out here shooting a nigga, okay? Or the only way that you can actually get respect as a man is if you out here screwing a hoe, taking advantage of women, walking away from your children. Zero tolerance policy. This is what we're doing collectively, though, as a group consciousness, because we did it on an individual scale. And so then we say, oh, no, I'm turning that off. I'm no longer supporting that artist. So that's the same thing for TV shows, movies, anything like that. Even when it comes down to these banking systems, the more that we see them discriminating against our people and telling us, well, you know, I have to really do a detailed check on who you are to cash your check. Zero tolerance policy, pull all the way back, get your funds up out of there and close out that account. Okay? We have to start, but it starts on an individual level, and that's where the most tests come in. You're going to be tested by those people, your friends, your immediate family, your romantic partners, fathers or mothers of your children, your own children. You will be tested to see, are you going to stand your bite of how long this person has been in your life, or despite of how much emotions you might have towards this person, are you going to go into that passive state? Or are you going to step into that emperor energy that says no? Zero tolerance policy. We're going to keep these scales balanced, and if it ain't balanced, you're getting cut. You're getting cut until you come in with integrity. You got to walk through the door with integrity, okay? You can't come in. You ain't welcome up in this temple. You're not welcome up in my space or in my energy if you lack it. Mm. No more trying to use me. No more trying to take advantage of me. No more trying to, you know, if it ain't no reciprocity there, then it ain't there at all. Because, see, in your past, especially as the chosen, one thing about the chosen seed is that we have a tendency to be overgiving prior to your transformation. You overgive of yourself and you end up depleted. You overgive of yourself and you end up feeling as if you get no return on your investment. But in that, after you go through that transformation and you step into your power, you begin to recognize, yes, I'm still a giver, but I will not be trampled over. I will not be used and abused and misused for someone else's perversion. possessions or their own carnal nature or their own materialism or their own ego. See, when you go through that transformative process, you come out, you see things differently. Because remember, you coming from a caterpillar that was on the surface crawling on your belly, so you saw everything from the surface. You was only looking through your natural eyes. And so you was not able to perceive the agenda of many people from that perspective. But after the transformation and you come out of that cocoon, now you got wings. Now you flying higher. Yeah, you have the ability to go down on ground level and to see things from a surface perspective if you want to. Fly higher and to see things from a higher perspective. So at that point, you're now seeing things through your spiritual eyes. And because of this, you can't unsee BS. And so you may find that when you first come out of the cocoon, you might tolerate things to a certain degree. For a certain period of time, you might let certain things slide, but it's like, man, I can't unsee that. I can't unsee the energy that this person is projecting. I can't unsee the fact that this person seems uncomfortable with my come up or with my growth or with my glow up. They seem uncomfortable with the fact that I love me. They seem uncomfortable with the fact that I'm creating healthy boundaries and that I'm no longer operating in that low vibrational energy. And so you might allow these people back into your life for a short period of time. That's only during your testing phase, though. And so you'll find that, you know, the more that you hold on to these types of people, even though you can see very clearly through them and through their agenda, the lessons will become that much louder. It's like, okay, you see it, I'm going to make you see it even more clearly now. They're going to come in and do something else, and they're going to do something else, and they're going to do something else, whether it's a job, a friendship, it don't matter. Until you're just like, oh, no, this is not in alignment with integrity. This is not, I was taught the exact opposite of this in the cocoon. The wisdom that I've been granted has shown me that I am worth far greater. And so until you actually enforce the zero tolerance policy, no matter who it is or what it is, then you're going to continue to get the test until you start to see that this is something that is a large part of my growth, and I must operate from this space. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Because, again, the higher you continue to rise, you're going to see that this is a collective body that's coming together to project the energy of only accept things that are just. That's you exacting the law. That is you enforcing the law. You see what I'm saying? As a spiritual being, as a chosen seed, you are the one. We are the enforcers of the law because we are operating from integrity and we only accept things that are in alignment with that. Then we come together as a collective body, Christ consciousness, to enforce the law that has to be in alignment with balance, justice, and integrity, honesty, compassion, truth. And anything in opposition to that automatically gets plucked away, automatically must cease to exist. That's the energy we are projecting. And it's necessary for us to do this because one of the main reasons why we ended up falling from grace for a time in terms of our position of authority here on this land is because we did not operate with the zero tolerance policy. We became too passive and too open to the wrong types of people into our space, into our community, into our spiritual belief system, into our culture. We allowed too many people to come in with the silver tongue, you know, and these soft words, making false promises. And we did not use our spirit of discernment to see clearly that these people were snakes, even though I can guarantee that we saw it. We felt it, and we knew that something wasn't right. We knew something wasn't right. Go back and watch the first version of Pocahontas, okay? That movie, I used to watch it all the time when I was a child. When these people first came over here, the Europeans first came over here on this land, Pocahontas, her family, they was very much so in opposition to these people. They actually called them the blue-eyed devil in the movie. I was surprised to see that because as a child, it just didn't dawn on me what they were saying. But as an adult, when I looked back and watched it with my children, I was like, damn, they really was putting it out there. But time when most of the world was asleep. Most of the chosen was asleep, so you would not have been able to easily pick up on that. But there are some who was awakened that was able to see that very clearly, but not enough of us. And so because, just like in that movie, you had some people who was given the message, given the signs and synchronicities, even nature was speaking, saying, don't go in that direction. You can't trust this one. You can't trust these people. That soft talking, you know, those false promises was enough to make people go against that zero tolerance policy. And because of that, that's when the enemy was able to come in and wreak havoc over this land and over our spiritual belief systems, because Pocahontas ended up in the church. She went from connecting to the Most High through nature and being able to speak to trees and speak to the wind and speak to the water and the animals and all of these things to walking around in a church, because at that point she had fallen in love with a European man that had convinced her that he was all love. But in between time, people are using him as a pawn to get to her family to take them down so that they can overtake the land. And so this is where we have to maintain that position. We set healthy boundaries.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Shavi Zane. And hey, what's going on, everybody? My name.
All right, guys, that was a lot. royalty to everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was a lot. Please join me at the top of the hour. I just wanted to kind of just play that and listen to that, but please join me at the top of the hour where we're going to be talking about. Today is 9/11. I didn't even realize it was 9/11. Nobody's really talking about 9/11. But we're going to talk about it, all right? So please join me at what truly happened, just for another perspective. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that. All of the YouTube clips are in the show notes for you guys, so please be sure to go in the show notes and look for those clips. All right, and subscribe to her channel, book a reading with her, all of it. It's all in the show notes, guys, for you, okay? All right, guys, see you at the top of the hour.